A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Namibia. It's 342 days in the year. 342 days, is it that? 342 days, yeah. Today is the 8th of December. That makes it 342 days if there are 365 days in the year. Well, I wasn't good at math, but I can always, you know, I can always calculate. 342 days and only about 23 days left before we say goodbye to 2025. It's going slowly by slowly, but surely we're getting there. Good morning. It was a weekend. How was your weekend? It has been a raining weekend. So it has been a raining weekend and it's raining right as we speak. A good rain that is going on. And here in Ondangwa, what a good rain. It feels good. I love that. This is my kind of weather. Of course, it's, you know, in the north is that, you know, muddy and all that. But, we're used to that. We're used to that. Yeah. We don't mind about that. Right. But it's raining. It feels good. It gives you a little bit of, you know, energy. And it feels really cool and rainy and, you know, yeah, it's good. It feels good. And we have been needing it. So thank you very much for those who pray. Those prayers has been answered. Please continue. This is not, we don't want it to end up here. We don't want it just ending now. Please do continue, especially this part of the world. No, pray for the whole country. So hopefully your weekend was as good as ours, because we have really been, you know, it has been raining. And it has been a good weekend and restful as well, you know, for some of us. But yeah, how was your weekend? Hopefully was good. It was good, hopefully. And hopefully it's raining in your part of the world as well, and part of your country. And wherever you are, whether you're outside of this country, hopefully it's also raining. Or maybe you don't need rain where you are anyway. So there are certain countries where you might not just want it. So if you're some Central Africa there or something like that, it rained almost, you know, all the time. So you're gonna like, it's enough. Yeah, so all right. So enough about the rain. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. And thanks for joining us this very rainy morning. And we're happy that we are in your company, especially this morning. We are happy, and I'm excited being in your company as usual. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or not. I'm always excited to be in your company. All right, my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through that noise, through the noise, to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. We keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. The views shared during our segments don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversations so you can be part of the bigger conversation. This is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. As I said, today is 442 days in 2025. It's the 8th of December. The year is 2025. And as usual, we start with the history. What happened on this day in Africa? So on this day in Africa, where we take a look back at key moments that have shaped our continent. So first up, we travel back to 8th of December in 1958 in Accra, Ghana. The very first All African People's Conference kicked off. It kicked off on the 8th of December, 1958. All African People's Conference. So this conference was a pivotal moment in the fight for African unity and independence. So delegates from 28 African countries and colonies gathered, as well as observers from all over the world. So it was all about coming together, pushing for self-determination, and standing up to colonial rule. So one of the key voices at the conference was civil rights leaders, W.E.B. Du Bois. He addressed the crowd, urging Africans to lose nothing except their chain. You know, lose nothing except your chains. So calling for unity in the fight against colonial power. So the conference set the stage for the future of Pan-Africanism and the eventual push for independence across the continent. A true historic moment, actually. All right. Fast forward to 8 December 1995, in Ivory Coast, a troubling moment in public health history, as the first case of the Ebola virus was confirmed. So Ebola, which had already wreaked havoc in other parts of Africa, became a major health concern in the region. So the outbreak set shockwaves through the Ivory Coast and raised alarm across the continent about how to handle such dangerous virus and disease. It was a stark reminder of the need for stronger health system and global cooperation in the fight against infectious diseases. So, and when we come back from this, we continue with what is left. Let's go quickly for a break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
It's always you. It's always you. All right. Then we head to, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. On This Day in Africa. And we head to 8th of December 2006. The Horn of Africa was on edge as a heavy fighting broke out in Somalia town of Dinsor. You know, this was part of the wider conflict between the Islamic Court Unions, the ICU, has a terrible name, the ICU, and the Somalian government, which was supported by Ethiopian military forces. Now, that day marked a critical point with the intense fighting that eventually led to a full-scale Ethiopian military intervention in Somalia. So this conflict would go on to have a far-reaching effect on the region, destabilizing Somalia and also causing a long period of military involvement that would affect the Horn of Africa for years to come. So, as we reflect on these moments, from the birth of Pan-Africanism in 1958 to the health scares of the 90s to the military conflict in the 2000s, one thing is clear. Africa's history is shaped by moments of unity, struggle, and resilience. And as we look at where we are today, it is important to remember how far we have come and how far we still have to go. So, and that's your look, and that's your look at On This Day in Africa. So, good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is Unpacking the Day. And today, on this day, what is the day? The 342 days in the year. And it falls on Monday, the 8th of December, the 8th of December. So what is our thought for the day today? What is our thought for the day? If the sun said it had power over the moon, then let it come and shine at night. So if the sun said it had power over the moon, then let it come and shine at night. So the proverb, I recognize that different roles or times may belong to different actors. Okay? So, and it suggests humility and acknowledges limits. So dominion in one area does not equal dominion in everywhere. All right? So it doesn't mean because you're a CEO here, you're a CEO everywhere. So it, in a human affair, this proverb can be used when a leader or a powerful person tries to impose authority beyond their legitimate sphere. The proverbs, you know, becomes a call to question or challenge indiscriminate power. So it's a caution against arrogance, reminding listeners that context matters. So power that works in one dominion may fail in another. So the proverb is, the sun, if the sun said it had power over the moon, then let it come and shine at night. So, yeah, whatever you decide today, make sure that the decision and choices that you make, you do it in humility and acknowledging your limitations. So dominion in one area, it does not equal dominion everywhere. So welcome. This is Unpacking Today. And what are we looking forward to today? What are we going to discuss this morning? Okay, what we have for you this morning. Today we go Africa. All right, there are a few things that happened just recently. Okay, what we know, what we're going to look, what do we know about the attempted coup d'etat in Cotonou? So we're going to look at that because it has some implications. Really, it has some implication on the continent. So we're going to look at the attempted coup d'etat that actually took place on Sunday, yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, Sunday morning, you know, in Cotonou. And that's Benin, all right? That took place in Benin. So, and the other thing maybe worth looking at is the US, DRC, and Rwanda new agreement. That also took place, I think, Thursday or Friday. And there is a concern of that agreement, that the new agreement implementation depends on improved security in Eastern DRC. So if that doesn't improve, if the war doesn't stop, well, this agreement will not be in effect. So yes, that's what we're going to look at. And if we still have time, so we're going to look at one of the stories that today's in that is also today's in today's edition of The Villager. That's Record Africa announces hydrocarbon discovery in Namibia, Kavango West regions. So we can also look at that if we still have time. So good morning, and thanks for joining me. And let's unpack this together after this.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafa sana na na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongota samweni anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi paregi uimopo yomo programa letu moambo lengira selma onara heta tuimu datundatu heari hamano tano oambiaji Eagle FM.
A very good morning to you. It's raining, it's raining, it's raining here in this part of the world. It's raining. It's a very good weather. I just wish it stays like this. So, good morning, Namibia. And you tune in to Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM. And we're coming to you directly, directly from, you know, the mighty region of Oshana, Oshana region. And, well, thank you for joining us here on Unpacking the Day, where we take the biggest headlines, take the biggest headline from across Africa or from across the world and break them down so you understand. Not just the news, not just the news, but the meaning behind it. Okay? So, today we're heading west. Wild, wild west. We're heading west, far west, to Benin. We go to Benin. It's a country on the Gulf of the Gulf of the Guinea, you know, squeezed in between Togo and what is the other country? Nigeria. So squeezed between Togo and Nigeria, known for its historic port. I think it's known for its historic port city of Cotonou, eh? And its vibrant culture, and for many African as one of the quieter democracy in the region. Actually, it's one of the quieter democracy in the region. So, but early Sunday morning, Cotonou didn't wake up to the sound of church bells or market gossip, you know. It woke up on gunfire and explosions. It woke up on gunfire and bullets. So, a small group of soldiers attacked the home of President Patrice Talon. I don't know whether it's Talon or Talon, you know. So Patrice Talon, yes, the president's actual residence, and they claim they had removed him from office, short-lived as the claim was actually. Talon was later confirmed safe. The regular army, the normal army, or the regular army moved in. And midday, the government said the situation was under control. No panic. We shouldn't be panic. The situation has resumed. It is under control. Now, right, let's unpack this step by step, okay? Now, this was not I think luckily this was not a massive uprising, you know, a massive uprising in terms of it wasn't a nationwide military rebellion, you know, like in other countries. It was, according to Benin officials, a small group, just a small group led by Lieutenant Colonel Pascal Tigri. Pascal Tigri, Lieutenant, it's even a Lieutenant Colonel, it's a Lieutenant Colonel, and he is a commander of a special force group. Within the National Guard, you know, within the National Guard. So, Mr. Tigri, you know. So, and they stormed the national broadcaster. That has become a habit now. They stormed the national broadcaster, the OTPR, the ORTB. They aired a message saying they were forming a so-called military committee for refoundation. And they suspended the constitution and banned political parties and closed borders. Now that's what now they were saying on broadcasting. They said, "Well, we are so-called military committee for refoundation. Now we suspended the constitution, we banned political parties, and we closed the borders." So that's what, you know, when they started broadcasting now. And I think that has become the textbook. How do they call it? That has become a textbook cool language. Cool. Whoever is having a coup, it actually just, it's kind of like what is this? How do you say this? They repeat exactly the same thing. You know, they suspended the constitution. They banned political parties, they closed the borders, and they stormed to the national broadcast. That's the first thing that you have to do to tell the nation that you have of course, that you have the president is no longer, and there's always a committee of some form, or recovery, or refoundation, or, you know, it has become a textbook cool language, you know? And this is how nearly all modern coup in Africa have been declared in recent years. Get the TV station, get the microphone, tell the country you are in charge. So that has been the kind of the modern, you know, coup kind of style, or if you like, you know, they follow the same textbook. All right. So, but here things didn't go well. I think it didn't go according to that textbook. It didn't go according to the script, unfortunately. So within hours, the OTB, this is now the broadcasting, the broadcast signal was restored to the state. It was restored to the state. The mountaineers fled, or maybe were, not maybe, they were arrested. Helicopter were flying overhead, and the streets were blocked off to secure the key areas. So by midday, 13 arrests had been made, most from the commando group. And the leader, Mr. Tigri, he was not courageous enough to face the music, so he's still at large. So Mr. Tigri, the Lieutenant Colonel Tigri, is still at large. So he wasn't actually captured. So this coup didn't succeed, but raises big question, but still raises big question. Why attempt it now? Why was it attempted now? Now, the reason why I'm asking is that because why was the attempt now? Because just month before an election, when the president, you know, why would you do this just before an election when the president, remember, has already announced that he will step down? The president, this Mr. President, said he's going to step down. And why would a commander inside the special force risk it all, actually? So those are some of the questions we'll be looking at as we continue.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. We're looking at a failed coup d'etat, you know, a Benin failed coup d'etat. And we're kind of liking now, we're looking at what happened, and then kind of asking the question, the timing of it, you know, why would you attempt now? Why would you do it now? Just, as I said, month before, there will be election somewhere in April, month before this election, when also the president has already announced he will step down, you know. And also when you're looking at this commander, Lieutenant Colonel, for a special force, you know, why would a commander inside the special force actually risking it all? Now, if we look at the region, okay, and there are a couple of things maybe that we need to look at, you know. West Africa is in the middle of what some experts actually call a coup epidemic, you know. So there's a coup epidemic in West Africa. And since 2020, we have seen military takeovers in Mali, in Guinea, Guinea and Guinea-Bissau as well. Yeah, Guinea, Burkina Faso, Guinea-Bissau, and now Benin. Well, this didn't succeed. But to understand the why, to understand really the why, we also have to look at the man himself, the man at the center of this storm, President Patrice Talon, you know, or Talon. So however you pronounce it. So this man, he's a fascinating character. He's a fascinating character, hugely successful businessman, often called the King of Cotton. A King of Cotton. And he came to power in 2016, promising really reform and prosperity, you know. And when we do all that, I'm going to change this, I'm going to reform this, you know, you're going to be... And when you don't do that, so sometimes things like this happen. Now, but his reign has been controversial. His critics, and there are many, his critics, there are really quite many, both inside and outside Benin, accuse him of becoming increasingly authoritarian. So there has been now a critic who said he has become really authoritarian. They point to a dramatic crackdown on his political opponents. If you just raise up your hands and said, I want to challenge that man, a few days later or months later, you might be disappeared, you know. So they talk about judiciaries that seem to favor the government also. And they highlight laws that have made it very, very, very difficult for any real opposition actually to challenge him. So the judiciary, if it's not independent, it can also make laws now that make really opposition, that make it difficult for the opposition actually to challenge him. So that's some of the allegation or critics that were aimed at him. So Benin was once hailed as a vibrant democracy in West Africa. But in recent years, a group like Amnesty International has raised arms. They have raised alarms about the shrinking space for dissent. As we said, you know, it became difficult for a real opposition to challenge it. So, and it's also Amnesty International have also, you know, noticed that. It has become a really difficult for dissent in Benin. So when a group of soldiers claims they are acting to denounce bad governance, they are tapping into, I think, a real sense of frustration felt by a segment of the Beninese populations. Is it Beninese? Beninese populations. So this attempt coup isn't just, I think it's not just a random act of violence. It's actually a symptom of deeper political sickness. You know, we can call it the deeper political sickness. But, and I think this is a big but, not the bad at the end. It's still a B-U-T, okay? But as I said, does that justify soldier taking up arms anyway? So does it justify that? After what I said and all the critics and all that, does it justify soldier taking up arms? Absolutely not. So absolutely not. The African Union, for example, the African Unionists and ECOWAS, have condemned this attempt. ECOWAS called it unconstitutional action under the ECOWA protocol on democracy and good governance. Any forceful removal of elected government is prohibited, and member states are bound to reject coups. All right, but you know what? Here is the painful question many Africans are asking, all right? And probably you're asking the same question. Are this statement enough, really? So when you have the EU or ECOWAS making all these statements, are they enough? We have seen ECOWAS threatening military action in Niger. You know when Niger, that they were threatening, you know, military action in Niger, but nothing came of it. Nothing really came of it. you know? And AU suspend, you know now, AU suspend the coup government, the government of the Burkina Faso, the Mali, the Niger. They suspend those coup government. But the soldier remain in power, the coup, the junta still remain in power. The soldier remains still remain in power. Nothing happened. So there is a sense that the continental bodies are losing actually their teeth. You know, they need some lion teeth, I think. Or what do they need? I think they need some lion. Now they have a hyena teeth. I think the hyena teeth are much stronger. Maybe they have a jackal teeth. Yeah, so they don't have the lion teeth. There is that sense that the continental bodies are losing their teeth. So their credibility is on the line. So when condemnation are issued every few months, you know, they start to sound like a broken record, not a powerful deterrent. Yeah? They are more like broken record. It's like the UN anyway. It's the same thing as like the UN. They have all this resolution, passed resolution, resolution, and nothing is happening. So they're losing their teeth. Eh? So now, well, the legal frames are very clear. The African Chamber on Democracy, not Chamber, the African Charter, not Chamber, man. So the African Charter on Democracy, Election and Governance, which Namibia is a party to, we are a party to that, is explicitly reject unconstitutional changes of government. You know, we are part to that. And any government that comes, and this is why we have a problem. You have a problem with government that come through, you know, through that kind of power. Because we are part to this African Charter on Democracy, Elections and Governance, which we should. All right? So, and this is not a suggestion, you know, it is not a suggestion where we say explicitly reject unconstitutional change of governance. That's a suggestion. It's a continental law. Eh? It's a continental law. But the problem is this, it's like in Namibia. The problem is like in Namibia, enforcing it. There is a law, but enforcing it, that's always a billion-dollar question. That is always a billion-dollar question. So, yeah, enforcing that is that's the issue. And we know how that feels like. So now, so let's get to the soldier themselves, okay? Let's get to the soldier themselves. The ringleader is said to be a lieutenant colonel from the special force. And this is very crucial. Why this is crucial? Because this was, you can think that this was not just a random private with a grudge or something like that. And you're going to the president residence. No, it was not a private. You know the private? You know, it was not just a private going, which maybe have a grudge with the president. No, it was not just that, you know. It was a high-ranking trained officer, you know. It was someone really high-ranking. And definitely that suggests the plot may have some level of planning and involve individuals who felt they had something maybe significant to gain. Or perhaps something, you know, to lose. You never know. So, yeah. And they choose a very symbolic time to act, I think. They choose a very symbolic time to act. President Talon, or Patrice, you know, is in his final term, you know. He's in his final term. Elections, you know, are scheduled for April. And he has publicly said he will not run again. And he is even named a preferred successor. He also even named a preferred successor. So why stage a coup now? When the man maybe you're upset with is already on his way out. Why then stage the coup now, you know? That's as I said, it's a symbolic time. You know, it was a very symbolic time to act, really, to have their their coup. So at this timing, makes the motivation, you know, kind of like make the motivation a bit cloudy, you know, it's not too clear, you know, was it now like it's an ideological move to save the nation? You know, some of this were, the nation is going in a wrong way. You understand? It was a democracy, you know, it's just going in the wrong way. And this kind of like an ideological move, you know, to save the nation. Or was it a desperate, could be just a desperate grab for power by a faction within the military that fears maybe losing influence or maybe protecting once the new president takes office, you know, you never know. So, and maybe it was a combination of both. Yeah. So, yeah, coups, wherever they happen, are really just about, patriotism. They are really about just about patriotism. They are almost always about power, about privilege, about personal ambition. Most of the time, wasn't about personal ambitions. So, now let's look at this now. Until I let you come through. Okay, why this is important? Okay, and this is an angle that I want us to look at, a serious one. So, why are we looking at this? Not just in terms of this is an event that happened and we, no, there is, why are we looking at this? Because it's because coup actually destabilizes economies. They destabilize economies. They scare away investors and often lead to border closures, because most of the time they close the borders. They lead to border closures that suffocate trade. You know, if the border are closed, there's no trade. So in country like Benin, for example, the coastal port are lifeline for the landlocked neighbors. You know, imagine if Walvis Bay suddenly shut down. Eh? What happened to Botswana? What happened to Zambia? What happened to Zimbabwe? Landlocked countries. So all this country would all feel, they would all feel it immediately. That would destabilize the economy. Okay? It would suffocate trade. Okay? So now, the other thing is also, we have to look at this way, that stability is not a given. Okay? We also have to look at this way, stability is not given. Our peace that we enjoy, our democracy in Namibia, it's precious, it is precious, but it's not unbreakable. Okay? It is not unbreakable. So sometimes we think, these are things that happen in West Africa, and these people, and the peace that we enjoy, the democracy that we enjoy here, yeah, it is very precious, it is very precious, but it's not unbreakable. What happened in West Africa remind us of that. It definitely remind of that. It shows us what happened when people lose faith in democracy institution. Eh? When they lose faith in democratic institution, when elections are seen as not being truly fair and free and fair, when elections are seen as not being truly fair, free and fair, and when the military now sees itself as the only solution to political problems, imagine. Yeah? So, and as I said, it's not unbreakable. So, don't be hallucinated. You know, my English sometimes, especially on Monday, it just disappeared. So now, that it's also a warning. It's a warning that economic hardship and political frustration can create a pressure. You know what? Do you know what that called the pressure cooker? You know. So if the people are going through the economic hardship and political frustration, that can create pressure. So, and we have to take this very serious. So this attempted coup in Benin, even though it failed, it's a victory for no one. it's a really a victory for no one. It creates fear. Yeah? It scares away investors. And it makes ordinary people's lives harder, the people of Benin and the people of that region. It's a step backward for everyone. It's a step backward for everyone. Yeah? And another crucial point is that coup anywhere in Africa feed into a large continental trend. Yeah? It feed into a large continental trend. That's, we started to see this happening not even long time ago. Benin, when Guinea-Bissau? It was not long time ago. It was a few weeks ago. Yeah? Or a month ago. I think it's a few weeks ago. You understand? It feed into a large continental trend. And the AU's concern is that each successful coup encourages the next. you understand? And this now erodes democratic norms. It erodes democratic norms. Now people see to that and said, yeah, we follow the same way. We're going to do the same. Yeah? It erodes democratic norms, making it hard now for the African constitution to mean, you know, to mean anything. If soldiers can tear them, you know, if soldiers can tear them up in overnight, then African constitution don't mean anything. Where does this take us? Seriously, let's think that seriously. Yeah. So I think this is not the way to go. Yeah? And you have to think about trade routes. Yeah? Think about the trade route. Think about diplomatic partnership. Think about regional security cooperation. Yeah? An unstable West African has ripple effect across the continent. It has ripple effect across the continent. If ECOWAS struggled to contain instability, it can weaken Africa's collective bargaining power, you know, globally. But do you understand? Because you have some other countries that are not part of that. Yeah? It weakens Africa. Oh, what we dream. I dream Africa trade, Africa continental free trade areas, all that. It's we can shout and whatever. But if we have countries doing this, yeah, it can weaken our collective bargaining power globally. As I said, think of the trade routes. Eh? Who would dare now, who would dare now, you know, go through in those countries who are not, you know? No. Okay. Now, so, Namibians. Okay, let's look at this. Here is our debate question this morning, all right? So this is our debate question this morning. And I want you to really think. This is not just... Sometimes when things happen far away, we think, okay. But it really affects much, quite a lot. It's really quite affecting us as well. Now, as we highlight some of these things. Now, here's my question. Here's the question that I want you really to think. Sometimes we just come and, you know. But I want you to think. Here, now, in Africa, current climate. All right? In Africa, this current climate, these coups that are happening, are coups always just power grabs? Now, listen to my question. Are they just power grabs? Are they just people who want to grab power? Or are they sometimes symptoms of deeper political failures? As much as I'm saying, this is not the way to go. But are they actually symptoms of a deeper political failures? And if they are symptoms, how should African democracy now fix the root causes before soldiers step in? How should African democracy fix the root causes before soldiers actually step in? Because they will step in. I'm not entirely blaming some of the coup that took place when stabilizing the situation that taking place. So think about that. So is it always power grab, or are they actually sometimes symptoms of a deeper political failure? And if that's the case, if they are symptoms, how should African democracy fix the root causes before soldiers actually step in? So, you're most welcome now to come through and contribute to this, what is happening. It's a Monday. Let's keep the conversation live. 08-333-66-091. It's raining. 08-333-66-091. It's raining here and we're loving it. So do come through. Our telephone number right here in the studio on Dango Studio, 08-333-66-091.
Omudiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fast and anana, longish fa, ya, she became a shiwana. E. Moyawo, or Tango got some money. Anagashi fa, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, Orangeka. Say Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongashi Fire Okupitramo, Ikelefem Media House. We 20 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahi tatuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oamiyaji. Ikele fem, the eye.
No matter.
A very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning, how are you, man?
I'm all right, man. How are you, boss?
I'm all right, I'm feeling good. It's raining, I'm loving it.
Very much. It's also I'm driving, but let me pull off.
Okay. We don't want anything happen to you.
And the same by then, we just made it. How many days are left? And they're like, almost in my head.
You know, please just get, at least get into 2026. You never know.
2026, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds even better, you know.
Let's put the level of good things to come.
I think there's a sound in the background. I think the sound in the background is rain. Somebody's asking, what is the sound in the background? I think it's rain. Okay.
It's raining.
Yeah, it's raining terribly. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. If you guys hear on the radio some sound, it's actually rain.
Yeah, it's something like this.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's rain. That's rain.
I thought maybe your aircon is in the service.
Nope. It's not the aircon. The aircon is not even on. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, and I hope the government is already serving the trucks.
You know, by this time.
Yeah. So they not suffer. We cannot wait until January.
Yeah.
They are going for service and so on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, come back to Africa.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody's looking at what Burkina Faso did. It's really at the mind.
Yeah.
And as African, we've been in democracy for them, like Ghana, I think it's 6 years now. Yeah, and the local Ghana compelling Ghana to, because they get the same independence the same year, I think, with North Korea. You look at Ghana and you compare yourself with Ghana and South Korea. They can't really get independence. Or you take Namibia, you compare Namibia with, I think it's Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get the same independence. Then you look at where we are.
Yeah.
We are not moving forward. As that question always put it, that Africa is like a child who never grow.
Yeah, exactly. But the big question is, really, and this is something that we need really to talk about. Overthrowing democratic government, should that become now the principle, you know, of changing government?
Of course, I think it will be better because remember, whatever deed you have against somebody and whatever agreement that you did, once a government, a military government took over,
yeah,
this become a person. You cannot ask me any loan I will give to democratic government. We are not talking about the democratic government and now it's a military. And you have to live under our rules.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it
can happen in some, like maybe you have now Burkina Faso where you have someone who really have a vision and things are happening. But that hasn't been that way. There has been many coups in those Western African countries, and they become worse. They become terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Economically, like they become terrible, and you know.
Yeah, somebody comparing to like Burkina Faso and Niger, you talk about Mali, you can see that there's a lot of improvements.
Yeah.
Yeah, like currently now, I'm saying currently what is happening there. Just if you do comparison, like you check what happened to Mali.
Yeah.
Or Senegal, then you compare yourself with what is happening in Zimbabwe. Mm, you remember, Zimbabwe is almost the same.
Huh?
It's like a military finger of a flow of Mugabe, then they become a democracy.
Yeah, no, there was somehow a coup.
Yeah, it's a coup.
In Zimbabwe,
it's a coup.
Yeah.
It's a coup, and then you look what is happening there in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. It's even become so worse.
Exactly.
Then Mugabe was alive. Mm. Yeah. So I think. Sometimes I think we do things without our, if you are doing something, remember that you are doing it for the nation, and you have to start controlling things to be yours.
Yeah. No, the difficult thing, and I think which we now, you, I can support what you're saying, is that when these people are in power, they make sure that the government machinery actually support them. Like now, when you're talking about Patrice, this president, you know, we hear, even critics say, the judiciary have actually made laws that, you know, that prevent a freely any participation of opposition. You understand? It's made difficult, you know, for them to do that, and the government is not. I mean, the judiciary is not independent. It's more, you know, on supporting the government. And if you have institutions that are not democratic, so definitely that's going to be a problem.
It's always a problem. Yeah. Well, remember one thing, how many times we have Namibian election, have to go to court?
Mm. Well, at and least our always, courts are independent. Yeah.
Always we are getting the same result.
Mm.
You see now, these are questionable. And just a matter of time sometimes.
Yeah.
Because remember, you might think, you know what they say always, that you can grow, I mean, you know the devil with your, you know you better. It will be able to eat you up nicely.
Yeah.
Than the devil which you don't know.
Yeah.
They say, and there's also
they say
Mala. And your friend also that become that your enemy.
Yeah.
Like that.
Mm.
But the way I'm looking at our democracy, we are not far from the West. What is happening there? Because now remember, every time we are going to election, and remember that time the higher Supreme Court, I found out that, you know, the machine which is being used is fault, but they keep the result. What is that? What does it tell you in the democracy country?
Yeah, no.
If you know.
To be fair, it's not.
Fair.
No, to be fair, you said, we're not far off from being worse. I think.
Yeah.
In Namibia, really, there's a level of I would say democratic maturity.
No. We are just peaceful.
Yeah.
That way we can say we're cowards.
Yeah. No, we are. We wouldn't want to go those directions.
We wouldn't want to go those directions.
And I was even saying. One have to be careful, you know, that, you know, the when these things happen, you know, when people get frustrated, when people see us that they are not free and fair, when elections are not free and fair, they are not democratic institutions, you know, economic hardship and all that. That's when how things start to happen, you know, and it's not something that is far away. It's not something that is not cannot happen to Namibia as well. So, yeah, with something that we have to be very careful.
My friend, you can go to around the other country, like even in South Africa, you never see a person driving a VIP living in Kambashi.
Yeah.
Never. But come to Namibia, this person will live among them. Even in South Africa, sometimes the dangerous location, you never find a policeman. staying there.
Mm.
Because they will be subject to the community.
They will kill. Because,
don't remember? Yeah. But in Namibia, my friend, a VIP person, a person who is driving a VIP is, when it, even like a lime season, is also trying to go and buy those who are to break the lane going in this cabasho. This is a serious thing.
Yeah, no.
Our Namibian leader, they need to be serious with. Remember, they created Osona. Now, Osona, it was a good thing that it's supposed to be what home for the military personnel. Now I see they change
the
it to what? Now it's a Kamita property. Somebody's.
But the thing is that you create you create those houses and for the people you meant. For the military, but they can't afford it. No. It's not just that it's for everybody, but they can't afford it. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing now.
So you build houses. It's like energy. Energy is made for the poor.
Yeah, but now we look at selected people.
How many people are affording energy houses? You know.
That's exactly.
Even mass housing or whatever this becomes.
That's why they are still standing up to now. Go to Chomwese.
Yeah.
Extension 10 or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
The house are still there, vandalized by the people. People are taking them out the window and what? Because there's nobody going moving in because.
Yeah.
I don't know now if it's the service. Just imagine somebody building a house without a service. There's no drainage. There's no electricity.
Yeah.
Just like that. I don't know what they mean. Maybe if it was powered by generator or it's having a drainage system which is not connected to the municipality, maybe you can understand. But you cannot put up a structure like that, then you doesn't have services. That's what happened to Sautomuse, Station 10 there.
Yeah, but.
And now, those companies, who did that? Nobody. Up to now. They are not even their machinery been taken away or they have been in court because they didn't complete the project. Nothing happened to them. They are still continuing getting capital project.
But sometimes it's a bureaucratic thing, you know. They waited and you can't pay your employee. The employee get frustrated and all that. So sometimes the red tape and bureaucratic process becomes a problem as well.
And you know, if it was a military, what government? What is going to happen to that contract? I'm telling you, I think if the system is not working for us for 55 years, it's time to get right off. Or if you are not adding anything which we know is going to work when with the government, I mean, democracy.
I would never recommend that at all.
No, I'm with South Africa. You know, a lot of South Africa did done this survey. They prefer also military government. And I'm going, I'm in the same kahoot here.
No way. I would never prefer that. I want to be.
My friend, if they say no, let us work backwards. They never must work backwards because we're still doing it in the same way. You know, if Donald Trump didn't come to the what our aid, we support already a lot of, even in December, we support to celebrate what? Gay marriage and lesbian.
I don't want way.
But it's a democracy we're talking about. You see?
When somebody disagrees, next thing you hear, the person have disappeared.
Yeah. you are gone, you are not existing.
You're gone and all that.
I think for me, I think since that we see that there's a lot of what a policy for the benefit of foreigners and so on, I think it's just some hard time also maybe our democracy to mix up with what our traditional.
No, there I agree with you. It's that we have to adopt democracy to our way of life. You understand?
Exactly.
you know, because now our democracy reflects the Western world and you and America.
Yeah.
You know? So to be able really to address the problem that African reality is going through, we have to adapt it. We have to adapt it to our reality.
I'm telling you, Mike. Who say we our kids cannot go with Ndunga and Mogalani box?
Yeah.
Instead of we now we are going to what? Kids, they don't want even the bread anymore. They want what? Kapai and the beggar.
Yeah, I mean, you will struggle even to have a child go with Ndunga.
Yeah. They will like, oh, but everybody's having a pie, but now I'm, come on, man. This is not our thing. Mm-hmm. We need to go back.
Shango walo loshima shiwa. Pinyito shuwa kovali.
Opo. Aye, no, man.
Tocho toha lo Ndunga maka anaka kamandu meke no pae. Aye.
Oh, with the modification, come on, Ndunga, to Roshi, imagine when they didn't want to post and data.
Yeah.
What are you, Mike?
All right, man. You know.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming through.
All right.
08-333-66091. 08-333-66091.
Very good morning.
Morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes we forget.
Yeah.
Why we are expressing ourselves is because of democracy.
Exactly.
You come on air, you say what you want, and you do whatever you want, you talk whatever you want. That is democracy.
Exactly. You know?
Now, if you wish something else over that what you are exercising, then you will be the first person to regret.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, sometimes we must understand that what we hear, we should not always believe.
Yeah.
That is the problem of us Africans. When you hear about church, look, people are just, how can I say now? They are too much in this religious issue. Where are the solutions? Nothing. You see, because you heard someone was cured, someone got wealth and so on. First of all, let us do research.
Yeah.
Let us send our journalists to Burkina Faso to find out whether what we are hearing is a reality on the ground. You see, because sometimes, you see, remember that no one will ever took a country by force, you see, and let people be more than what they want to be. Not at all. There are control measures, like maybe reporting, like journalism and so on, freedom of speech. Maybe it's limited. There's no way it will be expressed like the way we are doing.
Where would we base our diplomatic partnership? You know, if if every country become a military, you know.
That is the thing.
Our regional security cooperation, you know, where our trade routes and all those kind of things. Where would we base it?
Imagine. And there's something also, look, we understand sometimes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, okay, let me just put it this way. Let me just say, I don't know whether there will be an election in Burkina Faso, Mali or Senegal. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there will it be challenged in the court of law? Will it be? Will those people really be free to, will you be free to say, I want to overthrow what, Traore?
Yeah.
Through democracy or whatever you want to do? You will not. You see? Just, once you just say something, you are done.
You, as I said, people disappeared. Yes. Once you descend with what is in power, you're gone.
Yes. Who wants just to give power like that? And what we have to say, okay, we can say Africa had have been there like that way before. Even look at our traditional leaders. When we talk about democracy, you see, it's true. We just adopted something which we don't know. You see, because when they say freedom of speech, movement, and whatever, we use also to, how can I say, to misuse it or abuse it.
Yeah.
Sometimes at least it control us and give other people platform also to express themselves freely without fear and favor. Look at our traditional leadership across Africa. It's just same one lineage. The royal family. That's it. Is there democracy? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Michael have wisdom to lead our tribe.
Yeah.
Will you be able to? No. There is nothing like that. It's only who's who. The same generation from I don't know which century up to now ruling the tribe. Now, when we talk about democracy, are we talking about the democracy in reality? Which is not. You see, if we want to understand also our democracy, let us exercise it on our African traditional way also. If we know that this one is a Kwanyama, but he's bright, brilliant, and he has wisdom. Let us put him to be a king of Kwanyama.
Yeah.
But to us, it doesn't even happen like that. We just know that, okay, this is from the real Ahamba, whatever you call it. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one, the royal family and so on. It's not good at all, because those things, when it clashes, it is a problem.
It is a problem, yeah.
Yes, a kid grows up in the village, respecting elders and so on, okay, on traditional way, but coming here, there is democracy, no, 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 you have your right. You see now? But to us to exercise our right when we balance it to our normal, you see now, and this is a bit confused.
Mm.
At least let us just say, okay, this freedom of democracy should prevail on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this side we are hijacked, you see, we have, seriously. And you see, when there is an issue within the kingdom, the royalship, you see, to then who will solve it? It's just through the government, through the courts.
Yeah.
You see, because they themselves could not establish something which can also zoom in it and say, look here, yes, we understand, but we think in our traditional understanding or way of doing things, this is the person who's supposed to lead.
Yeah.
But they refer that to the government also, through democracy exercise or process. I will not even say want that coup to come here. Maybe I won't prevent it, but seriously, I don't want that. What we have to do maybe, yes, maybe what we have to do is to look for another way to say, look, we have some institution, maybe to enhance it and empower it, to say, look, this institution must just be at least put some more, you see, ingredients there for it to function or to test.
Yeah,
you cannot just leave it like that, because some people are frustrated, let me say, when it comes to employment, when it comes to promotion, appointments, you see, service delivery, those are the things which you should look at.
Yeah. Now, you know, when people said, I'm giving an example, when people said marriage is difficult, you know, I'm just giving an example. Marriage is not difficult. It's the people that are married that make marriage difficult. You know, it's the same thing. The system in itself, it doesn't work by itself.
Yeah.
It's the people that are in the system that actually make it the way it works for you.
Yes.
You understand? Because for other people, it works perfectly fine. You know, you can mention other country where democracy is working, where the institution function, how it's supposed to. But it's you, the kind of people that are actually leading that system, that are actually operating in that system.
Yes. You see, even let us talk about a chef, for example.
Yeah.
Same food, ingredients, everything.
Yeah.
But everyone will do it. The best chef will do it the way people would like that food.
Exactly. Yeah.
The same like democracy, whatever. If someone who is there, when it comes to infrastructure, is okay, the service delivery is equal.
Mm.
Promotion is based on experience and qualification.
Yeah.
Nothing like attachment of favoritism and regionalism and whatever. You see? When it comes to recruitment, it's fair. Everything is fair. Then nothing will be wrong with that.
Yeah, and I don't want my president to have an absolute power, like a military junta. You know?
That is the thing.
I don't want my president to have an absolute power. That's not what I want. You know, I want them to function within the law.
Yes.
And making sure the law is upheld, you know.
What will happen if the president have absolute power?
Yeah.
He might even say, like Her Excellency, we want now to say, she can say that today or now. All the police officers, let me say, all the civil servants will volunteer for 3 months.
Mm.
We will give them food parcels. You see now? That's because no one will even ask or question that or say no. No one.
Yeah.
Because if she says something, that's it. You see, sometimes absolute power is not fine. Because it's not good at all.
Yeah.
Not sometimes, it's not good at all. Yeah, what we have to do is just this democracy which we have or whatever, let us just maybe, how can I say now, go around it and say, look, when you appoint, please appoint capable people.
Yeah,
when you even maybe let a person go, maybe fired like someone, let the nation knows why. When you appoint a certain person, please address the nation what qualification and skill that person possess. Why did you elect that person among others? If we see maybe you elect only colors, okay, based on what? You say, no, it's not about tribalism and whatever, based on their qualification and skills.
Yeah.
You see, then people will understand and they will not come and maybe think about, okay, because They are from the same ethnic group. They are from the same region. They are from, because they are this, from the same color, religious. No. Then that one you will, how can ambulate that thinking of the people's mind, say that, okay, look, aha, yes, this person is right. The requirement is ABCD. Criteria used was ABCD. No, we are fine with it.
Yeah.
And people, if they deliver, let them deliver. I will not have a problem with whoever is appointed and he's delivering.
Mm-hmm.
What do, instead of me liberating for my tribesmen or women to be appointed, but then doing nothing.
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. Then what I'm proud of, because pride also in Africa is a problem. We want, if you see that, no, this person has been appointed from our village, then you are happy. But what will you get from that? It's just because it's from your own, you are from the same village.
Yeah.
But what we have
the same political party for that.
Yes, the same political party.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. Now, the thing is, what we have to do is the leadership seriously should come clear. When they appoint, let them make sure the nation must know why did they appoint that certain individual.
Mm.
Yeah, what was the requirement? If we want to appoint a minister of trade, for example, or mines, what do we want from that person? And who should be that person?
Mm.
And you see, that is what will just maybe wash off those, you see, the mentality of us thinking to say that, no, it's tribalism, nepotism, or whatever, favoritism.
Yeah.
Or because they are from the same party. Let us just, then you will see, democracy is fine. But
as you're saying, that transparency is very clear. It should be very clear. What are we looking for? So that's why now you have people, okay, why was actually that person appointed and he's not even qualified in those areas? You know, but if you have to say, we're looking for someone who is this and this and this and this and this, you know, if we see what are the character you're looking for in the person, what are the qualifications you're looking for the person, then it's apparent, it's clear to the public as well. And when you appoint somebody, they all can say, yeah, well, actually fit all the requirements, you know?
Yes, my brother, look at even the promotion of police and army. I'm not saying that is now. You see, sometimes also, let us not forget, what are the reasons behind for people to do this?
Yeah.
You see, for those coups to happen.
Mm.
You see, it happened in, you see, they don't use nurses or doctors or teachers. Those cannot take a country by force.
Yeah.
It's a military. Now, when you appoint a military, when you promote, it's where you should be very careful. Because when you suppress some, then they feel that no man. But you see, this person came behind me, or this person does not possess, but now he's a colonel. Now he's a captain. I'm still a sergeant. Mm-hmm. You see,
mm-hmm.
those are the things also which bring tense within the military force. But if you can just go through that and say, look, for you to be here is A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
You qualify, and the person will feel. It's like soccer and athletic and any sport or whatever, or even at work. If I feel that this person is promoted, I know exactly that, really, I can't match this person.
Yeah. Mm.
But if you can just morning time prove announcement, what is it? Okay, who, from Sergeant Class 1, okay, is now, he's a senior inspector. You see, the other one, how do you think those people feel?
Yeah.
They might clap hands, but inside them, it's not good at all. Then that can also, you see, tribute, or it can escalate somewhere else.
Exactly.
That's where the leader should be very careful.
Mm.
Who can come here based on those small things? We might ignore them, but if those packs just reach the dry grass, we might lose the whole forest.
All right, man.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for coming through,
yeah? Sharp.
Mm. 0833-366-091. We're talking about a Benin failed coup d'etat, you know, and the implications to the African continent. So what is your take? 0833-366-091. Very good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
I'm good, and you?
All right.
You guys, you're fearing something that doesn't exist.
imagine the fear. Where, it's fear as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, just say.
I said an imagined fear. It's also a real fear, you know.
Where have you seen a president having an ultimate powers?
No, we're referring like now, if you have a military junta, for example, now, would that one have absolute power? So that was said. That's why I said, I personally said, I wouldn't want my
military junta of which country?
I mean,
because the country that we are actually now having, we have all seen that people have rallies behind their Captain Ibrahim.
Yeah.
And there has been attempt about 9 assassination
of him.
Assassinations.
Yeah.
The people themselves stood up and say this is not going to happen. The power is in the hand of the general public. If you are there and they want you to be there, it is because you are actually doing what they want you to do. And that is the ultimate power. When you have a power...
Can somebody now, is there any institution within the country that can oppose him?
You are also doubting something that you don't know.
No, I'm just asking now
I
understand what you said earlier, what you're saying in terms of like, okay, people want him to be there because of what he's trying to achieve. But now what I'm asking is there any dissent, if there is any institution, can any institution actually go against him on any decision?
What do you mean by that? I don't get you. Are you saying that everything is just being run by those people? They have a prime minister, they have a minister of Department of Justice, they have all the organs of the government that is actually needed. I don't know why do people have to conclude or something that they don't know, and those people, they are not alone. They are working with Russia, with China, with Iran, with other countries. They just overhaul the system. They just get out of the system because they feel the system doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
And there is a result that each and everybody can see. Why do we have to speculate of something that we don't know? The power is within the general public. You are elected by them to go there and work for them.
No, you're not elected. First of all, you get to power.
No. I'm saying.
That's also misrepresenting.
What I'm saying is that, Mike, you need to understand me. What I'm saying is that, the power is within with the peoples. Even if he's not elected, people rallies behind him. The defense was not only alone. And you need to understand that, before that,
but in that also, I agree with you.
No. Just let me finish.
Okay.
Let me just finish.
Okay, go ahead.
The population of Burkina Faso is about 30 to 29. 95% of those people did not have electricity. No food securities. No energy securities.
Yeah.
The little that they get, the 20% is from South Africa, is from, this is now Niger. It's from Nigeria. Now Niger, I think, might be the fourth countries, when it's come to uraniums in the world, fourth or the fifth. You need to know, Russia is the first, Kazakhstan, and then Namibia. Now, their uraniums generate the whole Europe and France. And France used to make about 500 billion. Euro a year. Today, the whole thing says 10. The people are benefiting. I have mentioned this so many times because I've been following these people. Is it democracy that we want, or is prosperous? Like you guys said, yeah, democracy provided you with the freedom of speech. So you eat when you have the freedom of speech. So you go and sleep in the freedom of speech. Is that what you are telling me? We would want to be.
But you're also limiting that. Just, you know, also limiting that to one aspect. You know, you're also not looking at that fairly as you're looking at. You know, you're looking at the broader aspect of what, you know, taking over and how people actually support that. But you also look at that more in a broader sense as well.
I don't know what you want to say there, but I'm looking at what is actually being delivered in the interest of the people. That is what I'm looking at. I don't look, you see, this is the things where we say we have people who have got access to get money from the government.
Yeah.
Some of them, they got money and then they go and spend money outside the country. Some of them, they build empire within the country. Yeah. Now, who would you take there?
Yeah, no. My reference was on the means, because what you were saying is like, what we say is that, well, I'm looking at, you know, where, what is being delivered to people. We continue after this commercial quickly. Okay, just hold on.
Okay.
Imba ya rile ombwa nai etetwa weda kwa ombu nikire ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irile ombu pu ohakane na wina ikare no mafa kwa murungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba. Una ovi umedia peke kwa ulondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwezi. Toho, pwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kwa mieze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo mieze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Mwede ya murongo na bivari moshimarifu. Itoorore na ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyamu kife. Ashiesho imba ya kupe oshimariva shishuhina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uwebu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
Yeah, welcome back. So, no, what I was referring to is it's the mean to service delivery, for example. So what people want. And in some cases, that could mean also in the process, that could mean also getting rid of some other people, you know. That could mean also, you know, killing some other people, and that's the issue that I'm saying, you know, one have also to consider the means to deliver, to actually provide the service that people want.
Look, we have been back down in this system for such a long time.
Yeah.
And this system does not deliver to us. We have been patient enough.
Mm.
And it's about time that our leaders do what people want. If not, a revolution will take over.
Yeah.
Mike, the global south is equally to 1.5 billion, the populations. 80% of those people are unemployed. 80% of those peoples have got no land to live on.
Yeah.
80% of those people have got no energy. But Africa is actually accounted for 75% of the means of the energy.
Yeah.
But we don't benefit any of those. Where do you shift the blame today? Democracy, the system, of course. If the system doesn't work for us, we have to get rid of it.
Mm.
Because there are other systems that work for people.
Yeah.
We cannot just stand on saying, look, we have been crying for 85
years.
In our
context, what would be the system that would work? I'm not putting you now
on
the spot.
I understand the fact that some of the country has been within the system for almost 80 to 90, depending on when did you get your independence? And still people are not getting anything out of that. So if you're not getting out of it, then get out. Like other countries that get out. There are alternatives now. If you do not want to get out of the system, because I don't believe that our leaders does not want to work. It is the system that is actually preventing them to work. Because you are under a system of those who actually invented it. In a way of a neo-colonials.
Yeah. No, I get your point. I get your point.
Yeah.
What would be, now looking at, maybe let's look at certain example to say, now look at Jamaica, or look at this country, or look at this country, actually abandoned democracy, and, you know, we can see that this country is flourishing.
That is the thing.
Yeah.
Which is where we say, if we do not want the militaries to get involved in, there are alternatives now. The alternative is actually provided by those who have been actually fighting for such a long time. I have, for several times in this platform of yours, Mike, have told that we want to join BRICS. If we want if we join the BRICS, then we have got securities. We understand everything. People like us, we understand, Mike, we understand that you guys, you compare what is happening in Burkina Faso with what happened in Botswana. I mean, in Zimbabwe. What happened in Zimbabwe was power struggles.
Yeah.
That did not happen in the interest of the people, because people did not rally behind. Those that took the decision to remove the president by using to remove the president, they used the army alone. They did not include the general public. The general public was not happy with that because they knew that was power struggles. People just wanted to remove somebody so that we can actually take power. And the same things goes on like that. That's why you see there is no improvement there in Zimbabwe. But in these countries that we are actually talking about, you can clearly see there is an improvement. Even things that were actually prevented by the system that you don't do it, they are now have every 100% to do it. Let me give you an example like
I think that also aspect you are highlighting is that there's a thin line between where you now, how do you know who genuinely, like we have the Traore of this world and the case that happened in Zimbabwe, where some are coming for power, but some are coming for patriotism.
Yeah, you see. This gives you a clear picture already. You don't need to ask anybody. You understand it already. And this is what we are talking about. People, we understand the systems of democracy. It's not the system. What you people understand the way this whole system is. It's not really what is work.
Yeah, no, I mean, with the people commenting, are just coming from their level of what they know and what they observe. They might not be political analysts or have studied political science and understand things in details. Yeah, so that we can excuse in the way anyone talk, you know. Yeah, it's just opinion. Yeah.
I understand you.
Yeah.
But I want to say, if you study the foreign policy of America, it gives you a clear picture that there are certain things that most countries within the democracy systems are forbidden to do. Let me say, for instance, the oil refinery. You see, you don't do it because that will make you self-sufficient. The nuclear power station, a reactor one, a civil one, you don't do it. When you are under the system of democracy, if you people want me to tell you this, you don't do it. And there is a pretext given that if they allow you to do that, at the end of the day, you are going to enrich uranium and build a nuclear weapon. But that is not the case. There are countries in Europe with that, and they don't build it. And they are benefiting. They provide their peoples with energies. They make business with our resources, and we are not making businesses with our resources.
But that's also not in fine print. It's just an assumption or something that it's not actually, as I said, it's a fine print completely out there that we not allow you to do that. But it's just assumption, maybe looking at how things happening, isn't it?
No, it's not assumption. Let me give you an example of Saudi Arabia. If you have followed them right now, during Joe Biden, Saudi Arabia has wanted to build a smart town. Now, they realize that they cannot do that without a nuclear power station. They needed at least four of them. You understand? Now, Saudi Arabia does not have a power station, a nuclear one. And you need to understand that the USA hegemony policy, it is main sender, it's in Saudi Arabia. Because it was Saudi Arabia that allowed the USA dollar to be the petrol dollar. You understand? When Saudi Arabia said, look, we are going to join BRICS, the USA comes back and say, look, we are going to give you right
to build the nuclear power stations, a civil one, when the world complains, we will pretend as if we don't allow you, but in actual fact, we have allowed you to do it. So we need to follow these things is how things are being happened. Let me give you another scenario. In Hungary, the president of Viktor Obama and their foreign minister,
yeah.
Peter Sciato, they have been struggling for such a long time. They wanted that. And then they had an agreement with the Russians. The Russians are actually now helping them to build the nuclear power stations in Hungary right now as we are speaking. And the Americans were not happy with that. They wanted to sanction it, but they cannot sanction it because that country is part of Europe. And it's a NATO nation. Understand? And this is where you find that Viktor Obama today has got more power to bargain with the USA. So yeah. These things
so,
of
but, okay, what you're saying?
If our leader can come out and tell us, look, yeah. We are being prevented to do this by the system, they yeah. can tell you.
Mm.
That's why I said leaders, they are only like pastors.
Yeah. So, but what yeah, you're saying is this, your foreign relationship would only, you know, say for example, Namibia doesn't agree with what America is saying, that would just create a bad relation between two countries, you know, or you decided because you want to keep that relations maybe as good as it has been, so you then follow what America says. But if you want, you can decide that, no, I'm not listening to you. I can go to somebody else and do what I want, isn't it?
What will Namibia do if Namibia is being sanctioned today? Now, you need to remember that you don't control your monetary system. What will you do? That is the first point that they will tell you.
But still,
remember, you owe us.
Even if you're not a democratic, whatever system you have taken, you've still been, you know, you'll be still sanctioned, isn't it? How different? How would that be different?
When you're outside the system, then you have every right to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But when you still, you know, this is the problem that we somehow people need to study and understand that the system of communist or socialism and the democracy of that of the capitalism, it does not integrate. That's why if you want to be on your own, you have to get rid of the system completely and have your own system. Once you shift to the other system,
yeah.
Then you are completely different. It does not integrate. And this is where I was trying to find out, I have studied these things and trying to find out for such a long time. When our forefathers, I mean, our liberation heroes were outside fighting, the world that gave them the military aid to liberate these countries was the communist countries. Most of them were sent to schools there in Cuba, in Soviet Union, in Ukraine, in Russia, in China, and all. But when they come here and set up these organs of democracy government, they were sent to Britain, France, to the democracy, so that they can actually study. You understand?
Yeah.
And inductions have to happen. And this is the thing. Because I was actually understanding. People were there. They are chanting what they see, the motivation song that they used to sing. It's about communists. It's about socialism. It was never about democracy, yeah. You see.
Mm.
But when it comes there, when these people realize that, look, we have to give these people independence. And once they got independent through the system of democracy, we still hold them hostage. Because we are the architects of these systems, we can still maintain what we used to do to them.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what others have to say. Ne?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming through and your contribution. Yeah. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So we're talking about So Benin. Faced attempted coup by a small military faction led by a special force commander on Sunday morning. Very good morning.
Minha família, bom dia.
Bom dia, como está?
Olá. A sua apo serve o seu povo e faz a Namíbia crescer. Muito bom.
Aleluia.
You know, my brother, you see the is a monkey style.
Yeah.
You see the tail of other monkey, but they don't, you forgot that you also have a tail. when the last caller came in, he's saying, why you fear junta?
Yeah.
You're supposed to ask him again, why you fear sanction? like you already been there. Yeah. Why you fear, you never see it. you know, junta, today you are hearing the radio, almost forget like somebody wants also to call to participate because of democracy.
Yeah.
In junta, you don't even hear this radio calling to MP. Just go there and try to mention the name of anybody. You'll be killed.
Yeah.
You disappear, my brother. Junta is like, you know, when you have this corona, when you have a lockdown. It's almost like the same system. You have you are following it.
Mm.
It's like, you know, you steal money from somebody, you have feed, you're a criminal. Where are you going to leave that house? You put in fences, specific things. You think about how did I get that money from others? Junta is not the way to go. No. Don't come here and tell us Junta. What benefit you have? You're hiding from yeah, them.
Being fair, what he's saying is that within this system, whatever, where now you have a military in charge, there are still laws that govern how the government should function. How actually this functioning? Yeah,
my brother, you know, military in charge is somebody working with a gun.
Yeah,
don't play with what you don't have. Go, if you go there today to what this country they are mentioning here, like it's a good. Go there. Here, the fight we have today just between America and Russia and British.
Yeah. No, the problem I have is this, you know, you may have overwhelming population. Let's say, for example, in Burkina Faso, you may have overwhelming population, one happy with the taking over of the military because it's actually then bringing, you know, the service that they want. But in another country, you may actually have function, fraction. You have fractions, you know, different party, you know. You have, like, maybe take for DRC, you have M23, and then you have the government on this side. You have other backed by Burundi. You have all these functions. Now, when you took over as a military junta now, you know, what would you do to other people who are the section, which is actually larger, still larger population, who don't agree with you?
What
would you do? Definitely, you would rage war with them. You would have them killed. You know, we see that between what happened in Sudan, between those, you know, those two generals.
It's not easy for you to support those kind of system. You know, they are in that system of being abused and criminality and whatever because of a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
Yesterday, when we are voting for our mother here, people, they were against her. No, it's too old. Today, the same people are coming to say thank you. We just need a good leadership in the country. And from there, you can meet. You know, if you want just to get an example of this kind of thing, the agenda and whatever, just get somebody who was appointed in the municipality, in the coalition. Get someone and bring to the radio and ask him, how good is it to be in coalition? What benefit you have? You just, in a coalition, you just have a benefit of the party. You just want to promote your party, that's all. You forget about the nation. And that's why Windhoek was kind of going in the sideline way. Eh? You know? Junta is not the way to go. Even this coalition, not for Africa, my brother, not for us. These are, you won't allow, you don't have a freedom of speech. Nobody can come and say anything in the radio. If you mention somebody's name, you've been following and they look for you, just send somebody there today from Namibia to go to that country where you are missing, like, doing well. Go there, when you come back, I don't think it's like you can one day even, I don't know.
Yeah. So like some of us, there are most of the time we praise the government, there are most of the time we criticize the government, most of the time. You know, what happened if it was a military government?
Yes, you know, criticize because, you know, criticize good. Because where you learn, you say, here I'm doing wrong, let me actualize the way I'm doing wrong. As the last meeting of the president was saying, okay, you guys, we should look where are we doing wrong so we can capitalize and give the people services, you know. Yeah. But really, really, my brother, this kind of things we are trying for, when they come to our country, you'll regret it. Because you don't have freedom of even radio being closed. Because somebody who are living in the country using a gun. I was no man. Come on. Let me give chance to others participate.
All right, no, thanks for coming through.
Muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado. Good afternoon. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Bom dia, como é tua chão?
Ah, muito bem, yeah.
Bem, obrigado.
Não tem problema.
Yeah.
If you go too far, I am not.
Let me thank God for my brother, the last speaker there, and all of them anyway.
Yeah.
We all touch on democracy and issues of that nature.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Like I said this morning, democracy existed long time in memoria.
Mm.
The one that you will see being praised as a true democracy is a fake one, actually. Because the one that is mostly praised from the West.
It's a fake one. The democracy that we have is a fake one, or what?
No, the one that is from the West.
Oh.
This is actually the one that is, they are also trying to impose more much on the other society.
Yeah.
In the communist society, in the socialist society, we have the form of democracy.
Mm.
You know very well from the Bible, and the Bible is not from the West anyway.
Yeah.
More written, the scripts are more of the African philosophy, I mean foundation. So now, democracy is very important. It has been existing, even in socialist society, democratic elements has been observed and have been there.
Yeah.
Except where they have to be somehow limited. Because when we understand about our rights, our freedom, and things like that, we do forget about the infringement on other people's rights.
Mm.
So hence, there have to be some kind of limitation. And this is what even the king were doing. So when they have the power, whether it's the power of their sovereignty within their jurisdiction, they now exercise that power to make other people suffer.
Yeah.
And then they go and harass them, take their cattle, their property, and things like that. Like the last caller said, in the past, yeah, here, for example, in Namibia and many other countries, there's no democracy there.
Yeah.
What they were having is dictatorship kind of rule. If you don't want these things, they kill you immediately.
Yeah.
They were not even, those years I used to hear, even before we even knew about the liberation struggle. So you cannot even come here and even speak anything.
Mm.
I don't know who was schooling in Osaka schools and many other schools. When you were taught, there is somebody holding a gun behind the classroom.
I was giving that example.
Yeah. Oh, you're giving that example. Okay, you see now.
Yeah.
So is that democracy or is that the rule of law, the observation of the rule of law? What you are that one? Then it's from the Americans. And they go to Western power, more special. But the one that we have in Soviet Union and the communist society, it wasn't like that. But there were also individual people who were having rights.
Yeah.
Respected. So now, we also need to have this, you know what they call this, the Ubuntu philosophy.
Yeah.
The Ubuntu philosophy, when they say, you are who you are because of other people. Uh-huh. So how do you bring in other people? Mm. Their voice, their skills. Look at what the U.S. the president is doing now. He's even rejecting the diversity, the inclusion, equality.
Yeah.
Why are you now telling me that there's too much there's democracy there? And at the same time, he's also in hypocrisy. At the same time, he's facilitating peace somewhere there. He's also bombing the other countries.
Mm.
Venezuela, Venezuela. Is that democracy?
All right.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you for coming through.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh wait, 0833-66091. Our time is about 55 minutes past the hour of nine. All right. So it looks like, you know, yeah, the weather here is quite good. It's raining heavily. And I said in the background, if you hear that sound, schwa, 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 it's actually rain. It's not an aircon or something else. So yeah, that's the rain and I'm loving it. All right. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike.
Yes.
I'll be more happy.
Yeah.
When you tell your listeners that, when you come on air, just raise your point on your own. Don't try and attack someone.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
It's okay.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
No, raise your point and make people understand what you are trying to say.
Yeah.
But we conclude that democracy is not what most people understand it is supposed to be. Just like what Uncle Bwana has said now. He has raised a very important point there.
Yeah.
That look at what the Americans are doing to the Palestinians peoples.
Yeah, but what
they
you're saying...
Been about,
just a minute. What you're saying, sometimes a person may try actually to respond to what other caller have said. Maybe they might just do it in a more direct way or something. Yeah, but saying
don't the previous caller don't come here and tell us whatever he said. See, I don't want to say.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So there has been about six resolutions tables in a United Nations General Council are there. The whole world that are part of the United Nations voted for Palestine. The USA vetoed that. Is that democracy? Rejecting the will of the whole world. When you don't know anything, don't try and depicting a picture of somebody who's actually telling you the right thing. That is one thing that you need to understand. That is where we are looking at. Is there democracy there? You are rejecting. What is democracy? Democracy means majority count.
Yeah.
But we have a country, one country, which is consists of 344 populations, that is rejecting the wills of the whole world, that is saying Palestinians must have the right to rule themselves. You see, is that democracy? Now, if he can answer that, because perhaps maybe he didn't, we don't follow what is happening in the United Nations.
Yeah, but that's also looking at the provision that we see there. So there's a provision that this power, I mean, this strong nation actually have this power for themselves to do that. Definitely, you wouldn't think that democracy if there are some provision that affect into veto, for example.
Okay, let's say Russia has veto power to do exactly the same as the United States has to do.
Yeah.
Chinese have vetoes.
Mm.
The British has veto. the France has veto. I think because these are five countries that are having veto powers.
Yeah.
Among all those resolutions that has been actually tabled in the United Nations Security Council or the General Assembly, the Chinese and the Russian has never used that power to veto that resolution. What does that tell you?
So it's interesting.
Let's compare the two systems.
It's actually interesting.
We are talking about democracy.
Yeah.
You see? So the Americans does not protect democracy when it's not in their favor.
Exactly. That's why I said it's
because they are the one that invented it. These are the things that we need to understand. We don't need to come on air and and attack each other and talk bad about each other. Let's just raise our point
and
make people understand. And that this is education.
Yeah.
Some of us, we follow this thing each and every day. That's why Uncle Bwana is telling you the Americans, Victor Maduro, a president of Venezuela, he's been elected. But the American does not want him. Why? The Americans are not the Venezuelans. The Venezuelans, they choose their leader. Is that democracy? That is not democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about? We have seen clear evidences of how, clear pictures of how democracy is actually bad. Eh? And we have evidence to show. When you are not in a very good, when you are a nationalist, the American doesn't want you. Because in the system of democracy, they don't want somebody with a nationalist mentality. You can't.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for coming through again. Yeah.
Unless if you want to ask something or you want.
No, it's all right. Let's see what others have to say as well. Yeah.
And for those who want to talk to me, I have my number. My number, I can just give it today and then you can call me.
You can put it on the air, right? You can just say.
Yeah, 081-25-96145. That's my number.
Say that again.
081-25-96145.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Bye.
All right. 08-333-66-0. I nearly said the other one that you mentioned. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking today.
Yeah, all the rubbish for media.
I don't want us, back and forth, back and forth in terms of this,
No, estamos a conversar, estamos a uma conversa.
Just
conversing.
No, please.
We're not fighting.
Yeah.
We have to understand. We need to.
Yeah, but it's becoming, I want other people who are coming with a different point.
No, I'm not going even there. We just are conversing. We are talking. We don't have to get angry We just are learning from our mistakes. Then we are going, For example, if you ask me, for me, what I understand the democracy? Democracy is a group of people who are suffering. They are crying, need help, and I answer them. That's democracy for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Mm. All right. The whole point, what we're talking about actually is Benin. Benin faced an attempted coup by a small military faction led by a special force commander that was now on Sunday morning. So the president Talon is safe. Army control restored. Arrests were made for those who were the culprit, but the leader is still on the run. He's still on the run, So the coup failed, but it joins a worrying list of military intervention in West Africa. Since 2020, there are a couple of them that happened. So AU and ECOWAS have condemned the attempt. Citing a violation of democratic norms that we're talking about under the African regional law. So, and when we're looking at the timing, months before the election and Taylor exit, I think it raises questions. It also raises questions about motive and stability of the country. So for Africa, each coup attempt chips away at constitutional governance and raises stakes for regional security, especially for a cause. And for you, the listeners, and for it is about recognizing the stability in one Africa, in one part of Africa, contribute to the strength of the whole. If we have a stability in one part of Africa, it's really contribute to the whole. And if we have instability in one part of Africa, it does exactly the same. So it contributes to the weakness of the whole. So what happened in Cotonou is not as far removed from Windhoek, okay? As we may think, as we might think. So anything could happen. And this, I think, that we should be a guard against, all right? So, yeah, we still have maybe 5 minutes to go. So we will hand over to Windhoek around 10 minutes past. So for now, if you want to come through, so please do come through. 0833-66-091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And yeah, today's Monday, and the Villager, our Monday edition is out. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure that you do subscribe. Quite interesting top, interesting articles in today's edition of the of the Villager. So, and our headlines, as it's raining now, this is more appropriate, you know, as it's raining, the farm union is actually urging the people to take advantage, of the rain, that's currently, you know, that's underway. So, and as I said here, it's really, 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 it's raining cats and dogs, as they said. Isn't they say raining in cats and dogs? Yeah, so that's the headline for the Villager. Make sure that you you get yourself a news the new. All right, so. All right. Actually, let's bring us, make sure that you get your Villager and subscribe, and make sure that you get that and be able to read the stories that we have in there. So And that's bring me to the end of the of this unpacking today. And thank you. Thank you for everybody taking place. I'm participating on the show this morning. This is what it's all about. And let's do that. Let's respect each other's opinion. Let's continue to do that tomorrow. So I leave you in the capable hand of Mr. Franz coming up with Kutha Moshe. And for me, let me enjoy my reign. So goodbye for now. Until tomorrow, at the same time, on the same station here on Eagle FM. I'm Michael Chevalier. Good morning and goodbye.